a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The joint appropriation committee will be recessed until 12 o'clock due to conference committees still in progress that affect the amendments to the general bill. So we're in recess until 12 o'clock. The interns are at a required lunch, so we're on our own. I understand exercise is a good thing. Please turn off your cell phones. I understand there's a shortage of beef jerky in the area. That's what you'll be required to furnish everyone with beef jerky. Please address all questions through the chair and wear name badges, please. The first amendment we will deal with, these are Bureau of Finance and Management amendments. And some of these are being addressed in other bills and so are up in place, so we're going to just go through and if they're not applicable, we'll move on. But the first one we'll take is A.
Mr. Chair.
UAB. Representative Wink.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move 1185 UAB.
Second.
Just for discussion purposes.
Could I have the sponsor to explain the amendment? Mr. Dilges.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Joint Appropriations Committee, I'm Jason Dilges with the Bureau of Finance and Management. A bill this big and you're not going to even take the liberty of any leading comments, Mr. Chairman? Or are you just going to give that to me?
They have those comments.
All right. The amendments that were the packet that we have will try to displace or hand out one at a time. The intent is to cover things that weren't otherwise covered in the governor's budget or the result of changing things that have happened as a result of the last 35 days of the legislative session. So the first amendment that you've already moved, UAB, represents a change or an increase in general funds, federal fund expenditure authority, and other fund expenditure authority, a total of $38,000 and change. And this deals with the Attorney General's office, when the state, when the governor recommended the 3.5% movement to Jobworth because of the 3 years of no compensation changes this year, we neglected to reflect that 3.5% within the Attorney General's office, and so we only did the 2.5%. You may recall that they've got their own system by which they classify their employees, but the legislature largely has funded those at the same rate in which you funded the state employees that are in the PACE system. And so it was negligence on our part, and so we're bringing the amendment to add a little over $25,000 in general funds, $2,700 in federal, and almost $10,000 of other fund expenditure authority.
Are there any opponents? You're all by yourself. Committee questions.
I'll move.
Committee discussion. Motion's been made and seconded. Let's hear what the motion was.
No, you already moved the motion.
Okay.
You moved it and seconded it and then discussed it. So now you just do either discussion on the motion.
Is there discussion on the motion? Hearing none, Secretary, call the vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to clarify, as I remembered, these were, as Commissioner Dill just mentioned, they're based a little differently, based on performance, I believe, is what I remembered in the conversation with the Attorney General.
Chairman. Senator, pretty much the way you stated it, but because of certain factors, a lot of the non-executive branch agencies employ their own basis for how they classify their employees. Another example is your Department of Legislative Audit. They have a slightly different system by which their employees are classified. And so it's not like PACE. It's similar to PACE, but it's a little bit different. And so when we do the traditional job worth calculations, they're not included. But like I said in my testimony, the legislature traditionally has followed suit with that. And so, again, this isn't because we're trying to single out the Attorney General's office. It was a mistake on BFM's part where we reflected 2.5 and we should have reflected 3.5. So that's the only difference.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just have a follow-up.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, again, and again, I always applaud anything based on performance, so I do support. Thank you.
Further discussion? Secretary, call the vote.
Sutton, Jones, Wismer, Holly, Nolstrup, Heineman,
aye.
White, Van Gerpen,
aye.
Adelstein,
aye.
Dryden,
aye.
Boland,
aye.
Mickelson,
aye.
Werner,
aye.
Hager,
aye.
Tiedemann,
aye.
Wink,
aye.
Peters,
aye.
Romkema,
aye.
The majority. You have all yeas.
Having received sufficient votes, Amendment UAB is adopted. Next amendment is DL for additional ongoing costs related to the South Dakota Public Safety Improvement Act and Criminal Justice Initiative beginning FY14. Sponsor could explain the motion, please.
I need a motion.
Oh, sorry.
Will you just say something? Motion, I second. You don't have to go through all of us every time. Just do it. You do it.
Wink.
Mr. Chair, I would move 1185 DL for discussion purposes only.
Second. Mr. Chairman, if I could, the DL amendment is really a change to the FY14 ongoing expenses as related to the Criminal Justice Initiative. If you remember back in January, we held a presentation for the Joint Appropriations Committee and talked about Senate Bill 70, the Criminal Justice Initiative. The governor had included the ongoing costs as associated with the initiative in his 14 budget recommendations. However, because things continued to flow and evolve as it related to some of the final pieces into December and January, there were additional costs that were recognized by the administration for which we did propose to you in January that we would be coming with amendments to the general bill on. And so DL asks for changes in the amount of $650,014 of general funds, $67,099 of other fund expenditure authority for a total of $717,113, and also 13 FTEs. The changes that are being made in this particular amendment would be reflective in the departments of social services, the unified judicial system, and the attorney general's office. It's pretty self-explanatory. Obviously, Senate Bill 70 passed overwhelmingly in both houses, and so this is just the final piece that would fund the rest of the initiative in addition to what the governor had recommended.
I have a question.
Are there any proponents? Are there any proponents? Mr. Seward.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. I had to look at the clock to see if I say good morning or good afternoon. My name is Jim Seward with the Governor's Office, and I appreciate I'll be brief this morning, this afternoon, but I would like to explain a couple things. The fact that there was a recommendation in November in the Governor's budget, which you can imagine in order to get it to Mr. Dilges on time to have it printed, it needs to be done by about the middle of November. The work group that worked on this process for nearly 9 months issued their report on about November 27th. It was after that we began drafting this bill, And sometime after Christmas, when we placed this bill into the hands of folks like the Attorney General and UJS, now we'd been working with them all along, but when they actually got the bill and had the opportunity to digest the impact of placing another 500 people on probation, they really were able to evaluate, and we went back to the drawing board. This is a result of going back to the drawing board. The first and primary goal of Senate Bill 70, as you know, is to improve public safety. The work group found that by implementing these programs and by placing more people on probation, we'd be able to achieve the goals that were set forth in the work group. In order to save the money that's set out or would be set out for two additional prisons, there needs to be some upfront investment. And this is really that upfront investment that frankly, because we failed to get the report done in October, which was our goal, we weren't able to get it into the governor's recommended budget. So I'd ask your support for this final piece. Thank you. I'll stand by for questions.
Any further proponents? Any opponents? Any opponents? Committee questions? Senator Peters?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a question for either Commissioner Dilges or Mr. Seward. When we are seeing this amendment today, what, aside from not having the report done, I thought there was already amounts included in the budget for the Public Safety Act. So can you explain what the differences are of what was included in the budget already versus what's in this amendment?
Mr. Chairman. Senator Peters, the difference in the changes reflected are, again, the differences between what was represented in the governor's budget and what we have today. The amounts that were reflected, we've got about 207,000 general funds and 4 FTE and social services, 342,677 general funds, 67,000 other funds and 7 FTE and UJS, and then 83,500 in general funds, operating expenses, and then 17,500 in general funds, or excuse me, PS of 83.5 and then 17.5 of OE and 2 FTE. The original governor's budget contained 286,000 for the Department of Corrections, $3,012,367 in general funds and social services, and $131,000 in general funds for the UJS. A total of 6 FTEs and $3.4 million, 3429367. This adds to that number. And so,
give me this total. Is that 10?
Yeah. So that, am I going where you want me to go? Keep going?
Yep. I'm just looking for specifically what changed. Just the issuance of the report, that was what changed from when the governor recommended the budget to this new information?
Mr. Chairman and Senator, there was more work that was finalized as it related to more FTEs, specifically in the UJS, the DSS, and the Attorney General's office. The Attorney General's office was the implementation of the SAVIN program. In the UJS, additional policy analyst, an additional programmer analyst, additional accounting analyst, and 4 additional court service officers. And then 4 additional case workers in social services and the 200,000 there. So essentially pieces that were not finalized in December that were finalized between then and now is what represents this particular amendment.
Senator Hyman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a clarification. Commissioner Dilges, I think you said that the original governor's proposal was $3.4 million and 6 FTE, and we're looking at 717,000 in total and an additional 13 FTE. Can you clarify why the original was 3.4 with 6 FTE and why this 717,000 are 13 more FTE? Is that what I'm seeing?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Yes, Senator, it is. The disparity is that the original governor's budget contained a substantial amount for the behavioral health component or the services that would be provided to the individuals who will come out of the prison system and will be treated for the services that they need. The amendment that is in front of you is more weighted toward FTE and people to make sure that the systems and the safety nets were there. So it was weighted a lot heavier towards services in the original governor's budget. The addition was more people, not services.
Representative Hager.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Dilges, I guess my question is about the 717-113. And, you know, in some prior discussions, we talked about, and forgive me for referencing amendments C, D, and E, which haven't been submitted yet. And I'm just trying to reconcile the numbers, because is it your understanding that those other amendments were, are they all supposed to wrap up into this? And should they reconcile? What are the differences in those amounts? Why don't we see 717,113 or a total of 717,113 in those other three? That's my question.
Mr. Chairman. Yeah. If you look at the sum total in DM, there's no sum there. And I think if you add that, you're going to get to your number. So whoever, I assume this is, you're looking in your packet, that would be probably a question for your staff, and that we didn't compile this. But if you, the C, D, and E are intended to sum up to B, and should you pass B, I'll ask you to dispose of C, D, and E. But I think it's just a mathematical number not being carried forward.
Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
Well, I apologize for introducing the certain element of confusion, but I just wanted to make certain that we were... that the right numbers were the 717,000 plus. So, very good. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, to Representative Hager's question, I need to make sure that I clarify. The amendments that were delivered to the LRC were just the amendment form. I cannot speak to this summary sheet because I did not formulate the summary sheet. So, you may need someone from your staff to address that, sir.
Well, the amendments were your amendments. So
yeah.
Yeah.
This number plus this number does not have a sum. If it did, this number plus this number plus this number would equal this.
Okay.
This is a mathematical issue.
At ease.
Again, Mr. Chairman, let me assure the committee that the individual amendments sum up to the appropriate sum. I think the concern, Representative Hager, is the spreadsheet, and we just provide the amendments. We don't create the spreadsheet.
Representative Mickelson, did you have...
I'm going to answer
your
question.
Yeah,
well,
about
these guys.
Try and get this. You have not sent
this
count.
Mr. Mickelson.
The total and on the summary sheet, the total for DM of that amendment is 409,776. That's the total for DM. That number was omitted in the spreadsheet. 409,776.
Mr. Mickelson, you've been recognized. Any additional committee questions? Hearing none, can the secretary call the vote?
Are there any other questions?
Oh, excuse me. Any other questions? I didn't hear any. Committee, secretary, call the vote.
Sutton.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Wismer.
Aye.
Holly.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Dryden.
Aye.
Bolin.
Aye.
Mickelson.
Aye.
Werner.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Ramkema.
Aye.
18 yeas.
Having received sufficient votes, Amendment DL is passed. Mr. Chairman, the next three are omitted, I understand. They've been taken care of.
Yeah, and I need to defer to you on the process for that, but I'd prefer that you don't take those three up.
Then we'll just move right on to Amendment DN. Adds a salary policy to the Criminal Justice Initiative. Mr. Dilges. Mr. Chair, I would move 1185 DN.
Second.
The amendment DN has been, for discussion purposes, has been moved by Vice Chair Wink and seconded by Co-Chair Peters. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This relates back to the amendment that you just passed. As what happens is in the budget process, we ask you to look at approving additional FTEs in the budget every single year. But when that happens, and then we compute a salary policy on that, that goes into the pool. But because we have an amendment that adds FTE, we also have to provide adequate employee compensation, which would be the 3% increase. And so this relates to the additional FTEs, the 13 FTEs that we ask for in Amendment B, and just adds the salary policy on top of that.
Are there any questions of Commissioner Dilges while he's here? Are there any proponents? Are there any proponents? Are there any proponents? Are there any opponents? Are there any opponents? Are there any opponents? Committee questions. Hearing no questions, secretary, call the vote.
Sutton. Jones.
Aye.
Wismer.
Aye.
Holly.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Dryden.
Aye.
Bolin.
Aye.
Mickelson.
Aye.
Werner.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Ramkema.
Aye.
18.
Having received sufficient votes, Amendment DN is passed. The next amendment is DO. Amendment DO has been for discussion.
Oh, excuse me. I think there's going to be a substitute, which will be
DV.
Mr. Chairman, I do have a substitute amendment for DO that I'd like to discuss, if possible, please.
We've been the substitute motion DV has been distributed for discussion purposes. Vice Chair Wink and Co-Chair Peters have moved.
Mr. Chairman,
would you explain the amendment, please?
As a result of the passage of Senate Bill 84, which sets up a boxing commission fund, there needs to be certain things that take place, like setting up rules and the expenses of the commission. We're asking for $95,000 in general funds, as well as $55,000 in other fund expenditure authority. The $95,000 is cash that we would use to set up the expenses. And in the event that there's revenues as a result of the activities of the commission, it would just allow for the commission to spend those other fund dollars. This is a one-time appropriation. That's why you see it in a transfer as opposed to asking for a general bill amendment to add general funds. We only want this to be one time. We do not want it to be ongoing, but this would allow for us to set that up Any expenses that are not necessary would then be reverted. So this is a slight amount of, it's slightly unorthodox in that it sets up expenditure authority, but has a transfer of general funds. But the it only costs you $95,000. It doesn't cost you $150,000. If there's not revenue from the activities, there is no cash.
Sounds great. Are there any other proponents? Are there any opponents? Committee questions. Senator Peters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was under the understanding that the one-time money was going to be in FY13 and not in FY14. Why are we seeing it in both places?
Mr. Chairman. Senator, I hope we didn't get our signals crossed, but this bill doesn't take effect, as I understand it, till July. I was told that this was the vehicle that was to be used for that, not Senate Bill 90. And so that's why we brought the amendment. If you've got different intelligence, then as long as it's someplace, that's fine with me. I was told that 1185 was the place that
Mr. Chair,
was now wanted to go for this.
I think we do have our wires crossed. My understanding was it was included in Senate Bill 90. So I don't know what the chair would like to do with this, but we still have a bill that's out. Understood, but where it's still in process. But I'm not sure what we want to do with that at this time, since we still have an outstanding bill with a pending amendment out there.
Mr. Chairman, with your indulgence, would it be possible to defer this amendment until we have the opportunity to work that particular issue out? I don't want to double count this. Likewise, I don't want to have it not included somewhere. And so if we could work on that.
Representative Wink. Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest. I think conference is going to be at 90 sometime this afternoon. We can work it out, and then we'll know which one it's in.
We will defer Amendment DV.
Thank you. My apologies.
Next amendment is DVA. For discussion purposes, that is Amendment DVA. It's moved by Vice Chair Wink and Co-Chair Peters. Mr. Dilges.
Amendment DP.
Oh, excuse me, DP. Amendment DP.
Mr. Chairman, you threw me there. Really searching for some amendments.
Just want to make sure you're sharp.
Mr. Chairman, if you'd allow me, I'd like to defer to Senator Van Gerpen on this particular amendment. We worked with him, and he was really the brains behind it, so I'd like to ask him to help us.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Van Gerpen,
State Senator, District 19, and first of all, let me express my thanks to Commissioner Dilges, Representative Carson, and Representative Holly. They have worked together with me on this effort, and I appreciate where we're at today on this bill. What we are doing in Amendment 1185 DP is restoring back the funds to pay the state share of county veteran service officers. As you know, the history, these funds were dropped several years ago, and there's been concern about what could be done to reinstate them. And these folks I mentioned earlier have worked together to achieve this, and I strongly encourage your support of and passage of 1185 DP. This sends a clear message, and it is also a very positive message, that we in peer appreciate our veterans and that we take care of our veterans. And what this provides through the local veterans, the county veteran service officer, is local contact for our veterans. And our veterans need to be taken care of all the changes and the benefits, and they need to be aware of those, but not just the veterans, their families as well. These programs change quickly, and sometimes these changes are complex. And so this is important, that we send a message that we at the state level support the efforts and the work and the benefit of having a veteran service officer at the county level. I urge your passage. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents? Any further proponents? Any further proponents? Are there any opponents? Are there any opponents? Are there any opponents? Committee discussion? Excuse me, committee questions? Representative Wink.
Senator Van Gruppen, could you go around there? I have a question, or you can address it right here. What does this handle as far as travel back and forth to the Capitol for the county service officers? There's another amendment in the packet requesting travel money. Could you?
Mr. Chairman. Representative Wink, thank you for the question. This, I understand, will address only the salaries. And I believe there's another amendment that would address the issue of travel that we may discuss later today.
Thank you.
Any additional questions?
I do.
Senator Tiedemann.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, this is not necessarily a question. It's more of a recount of when the bill was before Senate Appropriations Committee. And that's when the Secretary of Veterans Affairs mentioned that if the salary dollars came in, he was also going to look at to make sure that the efficiencies and the services were going to be taken care of in these counties, meaning some counties may have to combine because they're only handling one or two in a month, and that doesn't make it very effective or efficient. And so I would just want to go on record that I support this effort, but let's make sure that the Secretary goes forward and makes those corrections.
Any further questions? Like you want to.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just add to that, and again, thanks to Senator Van Gruppen for working with us on this. Secretary Zimmerman came in, and we spent a fair amount of time discussing this bill, or excuse me, 1249, which was a bill that ultimately went away, and this took its place. But I think the Secretary is going to be engaged in the coming months, working with the counties to try and look at the structure that's out there for providing services to veterans within our county system, as well as supporting that from a state system. And so this, I think, allows that to get started. I would also hope that at whatever time you decide to deliberate your letters of intent, that you would give some direction from the Appropriations Committee to the Department of Veterans Affairs, signaling your support for their work in trying to put together the best possible structure and the most efficient way to deliver those services to our counties for veterans.
Further committee questions? Actually, I think we moved to the discussion stage. Hearing no discussion, committee. Secretary, call the vote.
Sutton.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Wismer.
Aye.
Hawley.
Aye.
Filstrup.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Van Gruppen.
Aye.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Dryden.
Aye.
Boland.
Aye.
Mickelson.
Aye.
Werner.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Romkema.
Aye.
18 yeas.
Having received sufficient votes, Amendment DP is passed. Next amendment is DQ. Amendment DQ. Q.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask that you not take up this one, as some things have changed this morning with respect to Senate Bill 235 that makes DQ an unnecessary amendment.
We will. Senator Peters.
Thank you. I would also echo the comments by Commissioner Dilges. Until we get the confirmation from the resolution of the report, we should hold on that amendment.
We'll defer. Amendment DR. DR. Amendment DR has been moved for purposes of a discussion by Vice Chair Wink and Co-Chair Peters.
Mr. Chairman, as DR is being distributed, it is an amendment that deals with the payment of special ed costs. If you recall, Senate Bill 15 was introduced, and that conference committee met this morning, and so we're waiting for the respective chambers to verify, but it moved fairly quickly and smoothly through the process. We received updated enrollment figures in December that would suggest that the need for special education will go up even more than what the governor proposed in his December budget. As a result, it changed the levies that we had proposed by about 2 cents in Senate Bill 15 upward. Because special ed is a partnership between state funds and local effort, just like general education, the state needed to put in its share of dollars to match that increased need of more students. And so as a result, you're seeing DR amendment, which would add $1.1 million of general funds to offset or to pay the state's share of that increased need. Senate Bill 15, as long as it goes and makes through the process unscathed from this point forward, would provide the local effort dollars to match this.
Any questions of Mr. Dilges while he's in the hot seat? Representative Mickelson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Gildas, I have a couple questions. You can just address them all at once. My first question is it typical to adjust our enrollment data after the governor's budget? My second question is we have had a very significant increase in special ed funding requirements, and we felt it particularly this session. What ideas do we have to address efficiencies in administering the program? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, to question one, Representative, yes. To question two, we're in a unique situation as it relates to special ed in South Dakota. Recall that for the last several years, the state and locals partnership has maintained relatively stable. But we also had a significant influx of federal monies through the ARRA stimulus program, which really, I think, masked some of the issues that were building as it related to special ed costs. Now we have the potential sequestration, which means that we could potentially lose special ed costs or funding at the federal level. We've also compounded that with the fact that our assessed value growth has been slowed. And so as a result of that, you're seeing both the levy increase as well as the state funding increase to match that. One more issue to bring to light would be that we have federal maintenance of effort requirements. And so if you were to look back last year and the year before that, you would have found that the department would have brought two pieces of legislation to carry over funds so as not to grow our federal maintenance of effort requirements. So with all the noise of that, it all played out in a significant increase in special ed. I think it's fair to say that the department, through the new extraordinary cost fund and the measures that they're taking, really plan to step up their efforts on efficiency and ensuring that the individuals who are served with this money are served appropriately and as efficiently as possible. I hope that answers your question.
Senator Adelstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, have two questions. The first one is, and I'll ask them both at once, is my microphone not on? You hear me now? The first one has to do with your comment about sequestration. Are you including some proposed or feared for sequestration funds in this amount? That'll be my first question.
No, sir.
Good. Not good. It's, now, what percent? what percent then is this of the total that will be applied or would have applied through Senate Bill 15?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, great question. We're still working very diligently to try and ascertain the answer to that question. The good part about the sequestration as it relates to schools is that because we're in the midst of the school year, many of the distributions from the federal government to the districts have already been made for the entire school year. And so we feel fairly confident that the 13 budget is relatively safe as it regards special ed. 14 is a completely different matter and is something that I think we're going to need to have a little bit more time to put together the information. So I'm not trying to dodge your question. I just honestly don't know the answer. If it is material and significant in the federal 14 budget, which starts in October, it's likely we're going to have to come back either in a special session or request that in the 2014 normal session that some other measures be taken in order to make sure that the dollars that need to go to special education actually go there, because we recognize that the money that the state invests through both the local effort and the state appropriation is only part, not all, of the equation for special ed, and we learned that very well when we did get the stimulus money and now when it appears that special ed money is going to go away.
Now, my other question is, what percentage of the dollars required for the additional students does this $1,151,000 represent as compared to how much will be going into levies?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, this appropriation reflects Senate Bill 15's methodologies, and so the state share would be at a 39.3% state ratio. The problem is that because this increase happens in state fiscal 14 that only spans one half of calendar year 14, the state has to take a disproportionate higher share of that cost in the first year because I can only get 6 months of local effort. And so it's at the 39.3%, but only for the half a year. So upon full implementation of this, you would find that the $1.1 million would drop slightly because there would be more local effort to offset it.
Thank you very much.
Further questions of Mr. Dilges? Are there any further proponents? Are there any further proponents? Are there any further proponents? Are there any opponents? Are there any opponents? Are there any opponents? You have a big job. Any further questions? Leader discussion? Secretary, call the vote.
Sutton.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Wismer.
Aye.
Holly.
Aye.
Knopstrup.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Dryden.
Aye.
Bolin.
Aye.
Mickelson.
Aye.
Werner.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Romkema.
Aye.
18 yeas.
Having received sufficient votes, Amendment DR is adopted. Next amendment is DS. DS.
Motion made by
Vice Chair Wink and Co-Chair Peters for discussion purposes.
Mr. Chairman,
could you explain this amendment?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
And I'm just going to outline what this is and defer to the subcommittee, if I could, because it wouldn't look very good if I was cutting my own budget, so I'd rather you guys do it. What this really does is reduces a total of almost $8.2 million, of which almost $3 million is general funds, $1.7 million federal, $3.5 million of other fund expenditure authority. This is the wellness initiative that was proposed by Governor Dugard. The subcommittee met extensively and talked about this, so if I could, Mr. Chairman, I'll punt to them.
Yes.
Thank you. The subcommittee reviewed the entire state employee health insurance plan and looked at all the changes that have been made. We went back 3 years and reviewed all the plan changes, premium changes, and all the things that have taken place the last 3 years and looked at the next 2 years. And felt that the wellness was maybe a little premature. We liked the idea. But at this time, we recommended to the Appropriations Committee that we not do the wellness at this time, and recommended also that Bureau of BHR look at health savings accounts or health reimbursement accounts with a matching concept, or the employer, the state, will put in some money and the employee match that. And we didn't specify dollar for dollar or two to one or what the match would be, but to develop some program like that and bring it back for consideration next year.
Representative Holly.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. If I might just make a small clarification, we didn't ask to do away with the wellness program totally. The mandatory part of the wellness program, which they have that to qualify for the 500 deductible, we left that in place.
Okay.
We just took the optional matching funds for HRA HSA accounts out for employees. So we did keep part of the wellness program, just to be exact.
Any further questions?
Did I answer proposal?
Representative Whisper.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess just to refresh my memory then, are you saying that were there any pieces of the wellness program part? Okay, you said the mandatory pieces of the wellness program part were left in. So the dollars that we're saving are strictly on the match of the health savings accounts?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
May I respond, Mr. Chairman? Representative Holly.
If I may say, there was a $550 per employee that if they did those optional parts of the wellness program, they would get toward an HRA HSA account. That's what this dollar amount is here, is that amount going into that account.
Mr. Chair.
Senator White.
Again, we worked with the committee, and I just wanted to share that Secretary Zinner was a part of this discussion and was in agreement with what the thought process was and was very worked with us very well. I want to compliment her and her staff on working through this, and we look forward to the program that they bring forth next year.
I need to ask, are there any opponents? We have an opponent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Eric Oyl. I'm the Executive Director of the South Dakota State Employees Organization. The South Dakota State Employees Organization is a non-union nonprofit with a 41-year history in South Dakota. We are comprised of state employees, voluntary dues-paying state employees. We do not have all the state employees as members of our organization. We serve a lobbying and outreach role here in the state and in the legislature. I appreciate the committee's work and the subcommittee's work on the health plan, but I must say that we do disagree with the proposal to eliminate wellness initiative out of this. According to the information presented by Human Resources to Appropriations, available on OneNote online, we have... South Dakota has the lowest employer contribution in the seven-state region. It has the highest financial efficiency as a state with that plan. It has the highest out-of-pocket expenses for state employees of those. It has the lowest employer cost, has the lowest employer premium contributions. The state employee is not making out like a bandit with the health plan. The state's already... very efficient. I mean, as efficient as any of the models that were presented on the OneNote HR presentation. As far as the $550 was more of an inducement than a gift, the employees would have to complete quarterly initiatives and complete each of those quarterly initiatives in order to obtain the $550, which would indeed go into health spending or health savings. Wouldn't be able to be spending this on TVs or VCRs or DVD players or anything. It would be health related. Without the $8 million with the wellness, state employees are going to be paying $5.6 million more for health insurance this year. A lot of that's going to be coming off dependent premium increases. So we're looking at folks with families that are actually going to be paying the price for this wellness initiative being lost. That would be a way for those employees to get back some of the money that they're going to be giving up and paying in extra in fiscal year 2014. Again, the dependent premium increases affect families who are the consumers of education and health care. Another more information that was presented to appropriations indicates that a lot of our employees aren't very high paid. SB 235, the economic bill coming through, has a $10.50 an hour qualifying wage. The state of South Dakota has wages that pay, has positions that pay less than that, less than $10.50. I don't even know if the state would be eligible for the economic plan. There's lots of talk at this time about surplus funds available. Again, this was $3 million that would be identified out of general funds, with the rest of federal and other funds adding up to the $8 million. Now, there's some anecdotes about unpopularity of wellness amongst employees, and there is a bit of unpopularity. Nobody likes to be forced to do things, but that inducement to get employees to participate in wellness plans should eventually result in hopefully lower health care costs for the whole system. Again, I thank the committee and the subcommittee for their work, but we do oppose this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further opponents? Any further opponents? Committee questions? Representative Nicholson.
Sir, do you know what the state of South Dakota appropriated this year towards health insurance?
In total?
In total.
I don't have those numbers on me.
Would the number $43 million surprise you?
No.
That's all I have.
Further committee questions? Secretary, call a vote on Amendment DS.
Sutton.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Wismer.
Aye.
Hawley.
Aye.
Noofstrup.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Dryden.
Aye.
Bolin.
Aye.
Mickelson.
Aye.
Werner.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
No.
Wink.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Ramkema.
Aye.
17 yeas, 1 nay.
Having received sufficient votes, Amendment DT is hereby adopted.
They just said time out. I don't know what's going on.
T.
That was S. That was F.
I must vote Amendment DS is hereby adopted.
That's next.
Was in such a hurry as on next amendment. Sorry, we're now going to deal with
2 and 1.
I've been waiting. Now we're going to address Amendment DT for purposes of discussions. Been moved by Chair and Vice Chair Wink and Peters, respectively.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. DT is just a slight change. It asks that. As part of the transfer section that hopefully you're become accustomed to seeing at the conclusion of the general bill, this adds a section that allows for the transfer to the general fund of monies available from the tax relief fund. Recall that Senate Bill 51, as was introduced, actually repealed the tax relief fund. Because of some conversations that we had on the House side, it was determined to leave that fund intact. And as a result, we now need to have the ability to move monies that are deposited from the voluntary collection of sales and use tax from online retailers into the general fund to make the revenue estimate that you adopted. So this just adds one more step, which would transfer from the tax relief fund into the general fund.
Are there any questions of Mr. Dilges while he's in the chair?
Are there any further proponents? Are there any further proponents? Are there any further proponents? Are there any opponents? Are there any opponents? Are there any opponents? Committee questions? Secretary, call the vote.
Sutton.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Wismer.
Aye.
Hawley.
Aye.
Novstrup.
Aye.
Heineman. White.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Adelstein. Dryden.
Aye.
Boland.
Aye.
Mickelson.
Aye.
Werner.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Romkema.
Aye.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
17 yeas.
Having received sufficient votes, Amendment DT is hereby adopted. Next we go to Amendment DU. For purpose of discussion, it's been moved by Vice Chair Wink, Second Chair, Co-Chair Peters. Could you explain the amendment, please? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, thank you again. DU is an amendment that adds $10,000 of general funds, and I know this is small, but there is a reason behind the amendment. House Bill 1198 passed, which added to our, what we believe to be enrollment numbers for the South Dakota Opportunity Scholarship. In a normal year, we probably wouldn't have brought this amendment and would probably have asked you to fix it next year. The problem is there's a piece of statute that says if there's not enough money to cover the awards, that we need to prorate the language. And so as a result, we thought it would be important to bring this up for your attention because we do not want to prorate those awards.
Any questions? Representative Mickelson.
Mr. Dilges? There was conflicting testimony on this bill, but we were under the impression the statute says you prorate, but that, in fact, the policy being followed at the Board of Regents was not to prorate. Are you aware of that?
Mr. Chairman, yes, sir, I am.
Any further questions? Representative Hager.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would have a question for Mr. Warner.
I presume you're a proponent.
Mr. Chairman, I think that would be safe to say.
Mr. Warner's, as a follow-up to Representative Mickelson's comment or question, what is the policy of the Board of Regents with respect to the Opportunity Scholarship? Do you prorate or do you go above and beyond that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, we package the awards as they're intended, $1,000 a year for the first 3 years of study and $2,000 in the final year. Each year we submit adjustments and fine-tuning. Those amounts tend to be relatively minor compared to the overall size of the program. This would represent a similar kind of technical adjustment that we would seek to avoid any proration. So we are, I believe the intent is that we can prorate, and in practice we never have because you have always funded the small adjustments that are needed to keep the program intact.
Are there any further proponents? Are there any further proponents? Any further proponents? Are there any opponents? Are there any opponents? Are there any opponents? Committee questions? Committee discussion? Secretary, call the vote.
Sutton.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Wismer.
Aye.
Hawley.
Aye.
Novstrup.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Dryden.
Aye.
Boland.
Aye.
Mickelson.
Aye.
Werner.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Romkema.
Aye.
18 yeas.
Having received sufficient votes, Amendment DU is hereby adopted. Ms. Beattie is for second.
volunteered at WA.
We're going to take a recess. I understand the Senate is going into session. And we'll reconvene.
Stand at ease, yeah.
We'll be at ease. The Joint Appropriations Committee, due to the large number of bills in play and the direct impact they have on the general bill, we will recess until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. And sorry for the inconvenience. We are recessed.